I had done a lot of work for this client in the past. I had done, I'm forgetting the names of the other blogs, but I wrote them up too because they ended up being so great. You know, he went with Cherry that had lots of purposeful flaws in them, so it didn't like look like perfect veneered modern looking cabinetry. It had some knots and some sapwood was allowed, and it made it look earthy, you know. So anyway, I did his whole living room area, the family room, I guess you'd call it, where they have the TV set, and they have the video games, and they have a library there. And then around the corner, there was two computer centers for the kids, and another 10 feet from that was her little office at home with five hanging file drawers and a bunch of things. But it was all in the same room, and the room was deep enough that it allowed me to stand back and use a wide-angle lens and get all the chairs out of the way and shoot the whole thing as a single shot. So it ended up being a pretty cool thing to do. And then what else did I do for them? Oh, yeah, I did a formal dining room. I guess I called it a formal walnut dining room, I think was the name of the blog. Did that for them, and at that point, they wanted me to make the stairs going up from the mudroom and the entryway in from to the mudroom from the garage. This is a fairly well-to-do couple with a very, very large house on a lake. And, at that point, they wanted me to design it from scratch. So I designed the whole thing for them and did rather high-end wainscot along the walls and climbing up the stairs around vents and that sort of thing. And the built-in I did for them, which is the, you know, hold hats and gloves and a little seat for them to sit on with storage underneath and a place to hang up their wet coats from outside. I did that so it blended in perfectly with the wainscot, the lower section of it, which was exactly as high as the wainscot, and the paneling on all faces kind of mimicked what I was doing with the wainscot as well. So, like anything else, it looks like it's all designed at one time. And when you do built-ins correctly, it looks like it's always been there, you know, instead of an add-on, that being key to making it look great, you know. So, you know, there's so many ways you can configure paneling for wainscot. You're typically is a rectangle, and sometimes they're wider than high. And if you have more of them, more divisions, they'll be higher than wide. But I loved roughly it's a square overall area, and there's a rectangle that runs the top third, that runs left to right, the full width of that square. And then underneath it, that's divided into two tall format rectangles running down. I love that configuration. It looks like more than simply just so many squares or rectangles running along the wall. It makes more of it, you know. And so I use that theme, and I ran that everywhere, including running up the stairs, where obviously everything ends up being more diamond-shaped as it goes up the stairs. But still this long, thin rectangle running across the top and two rectangles coming down underneath it, those three panels creating one large square is roughly what I was going for. And then, you know, every time something happens when you come around the corner of a wall or according to how much width you have between a doorway and the next turn, you know, you can drop it down to one over and under. And it's so easy to make something of a little bit more girth, a little bit taller, a base molding, a little thicker, especially your cap running around the top. I like a cap that's at least 2.5 to 3 inches deep, with a little piece of solid crown underneath that. It really gives it something. A 20 grand job, spending, I don't know, $400 more on materials can make it look twice as good of a job. It's like foolish to do it otherwise, you know. So, That gives it a lot of substance. And I get a lot of work as a result of showing pictures. And that's what you do, you know, and plus that knocking the client out, you know, so use it any reference later on. I always tell my client, is there one other thing you owe me, just before we sign the agreement, right? I turn around and say, if this absolutely floors you, this job, if this knocks you out, I want to be able to use you as a reference. You know, and it serves them so much. Well, damn, I wanted to do a great job. You bet you can use me as a reference, you know. So this particular house I'm referring to in this mudroom that I did for them, it's been my showroom. You know, I must have taken, a dozen clients there and landed jobs as a result of them seeing the three different jobs I did in their one house. And, you know, I'm at the point where I know what the garage door, combination is to get in the house when they're not around, you know. This saves you the cost of having to have a gigantic building, on commercial property and spend a ton of money a month. If you have a couple of clients where you've done more than one job inside their house, it ends up being a showroom of sorts. As long as everyone was shaking hands and everyone was pleased at the end of the job, you know, that you got them. So that was fun to do. I enjoyed doing that, and much of it was tedious. I don't like raised panels. I like to see more difference in depth on the face of the woodworking. That is to say, more articulated. So I like to go with a flat panel and then raise up my frames around it thick, thicker than a 3/4 inch frames, you know, styles and rails. So I get more depth. You know, when the panel comes out to be roughly the same distance as the frame around it, you know, it almost might as well be a CNC routed out flat, you know, a particle board or something. It just doesn't look as good, you know. So what I do is I end up putting my quarter-inch ply, either veneered to whatever it is or plain because I'm going to paint it, but put that on the walls first and then build my frames on top of that, you know, to create my wainscot, and then come along at the end and put base molding on the bottom of it and cap the top of it, and you're there, you know. But as a result, I have to, put molding in around every one of these openings that I've made, every one of these rectangles going up the stairs, and I'll tell you what, that's where it becomes labor-intensive. And so you need to have a couple of young men, a couple of 25-year-old guys who are decent with cutting miters, you know, and I have them come in and they spend the other 4 days, you know, cutting and shooting in those little pieces of molding that wrap every one of those openings I've created along the wall, you know. And, after a while they get to be really good. You don't see any cracks, any openings in between all the miter cuts. You know, because after a while it becomes, you know, such a repetitive process, they get damn good at it. So, you know, and what I often do is instead of having everything done on blueprints ahead of time, I'll give the client a rendering of, this is the kind of thing, here's the flavor, here's what it looks like, here's kind of what it looked like going up the stairs, and do a small section that I'll draw. But when I get to their home, I actually take a pencil and roughly sketch it on the walls. Okay, here's where the rectangles are going to go. Here's where each one of your styles are going to go, you know. And that way I can make a judgment call aesthetically when I get up to an area that requires that the rectangle be not as wide or be slightly stretched out because you can't get two in that space, you know, left to right. And, you know, that way you get a sense of it. And also I can show the client, you see the way I've drawn it on the walls with a pencil? They go, oh, yeah, I like that. Could you move this over a little bit? Or, well, whatever, you know. But from there, when everyone's agreeing, then I can get in there with a ruler and a level right on the wall and draw the stuff. And then the guys that work for me know exactly where to lay everything. You know? So seems to be a good system. You know, it serves me well, and I've done a lot of them. As a matter of fact, I'm bidding on another one right now. A huge job, which 3/4 of the job is exterior work, doing, you know, pouring cement and all kinds of things and masonry work and huge columns. And I'll design that part, but, you know, that's not my expertise. I'd rather bring in someone who really does all the masonry and does all that kind of thing, you know, let them GC the job. You know, somebody I trust, someone I've worked with before on site, and they turned out to be a really likable guy and their work is really good. And that way, even though the architect has knocked on my door, I'll handle the whole thing. I'll overlook the whole thing, but I'm going to bring this other guy and let him do that part of it, you know. And I'll go in and do all this interior wainscot and hanging new doors and whatever else has to be done, you know, because that's what I'm best at, you know. So I don't want to reinvent myself from scratch here. I love stonework, but, you know, if you wanted me to build your stone wall, it would be $1 million a foot, you know, whereas there's some guys that just do this so much. They know exactly how to heft that stone in their hands and crack it right along a line with their hammer, and they're in, you know. You know, they can do it in a third of the time I can. So I'll design it. I like it. You know, I like that. I know what I want to see. But I'll bring in people who are really good with that particular thing. I obviously don't do my electrical work. I've done plumbing in my own house, but I don't do that on a job site. You know, I don't usually lay the floors and do the tile even. I even bring someone in to do the countertops, you know. But I'll tell them what I'm looking for. But let them do that part, you know. In the case of this mudroom, he was looking to do something kind of different. Not the typical beige or white room kind of thing. And I went through five stages of colors before I got him to like this thing, which was kind of like a blood red for all the woodwork. And then the walls were a second color. I often tell a client that they should be doing their woodwork the same color as all the trim. You know, their casings and their crown and their base molding. If I'm going to come in and just do a built-in along one end of the, you know, one of the walls on the end of the room, they say, well, what color should we paint the built-in? I'll say, well, it's, you know, all your woodwork should be done the same. You can have your walls a second color, your sheetrock walls, but your trim, all your wood that sticks out, all your wood that's carved and articulated, that should be the same color. That's what's normally done. You know, you try to stay away from getting the 3 and 4 and 5 colors in a room because it looks busy and it looks like, you know, it's not tasteful anymore. It looks like 9 different people designed the room, you know. This is what's important about when you come in and do built-ins when a whole room's been done and they like the way it looks already. You have to make sure that you do your built-ins so they look like they were always there. They were done at the same time the rest of the room had been, you know. You try to keep the same kind of look to the moldings and the same kind of, you know, that sort of thing when you're doing your routing and your carving to the edge of the whatever cabinetry you're building for them, you know.